Welcome to another episode of the Wheelchair Roundtable, where real people share real stories, and together we crush stigmas one episode at a time. We're coming to you straight from the Rio Grande Valley, the front line of the USA, where Texas meets Mexico, separated by the Rio Grande River. I'm your host, Rico ATP, and riding shotgun is Mr. Roland Reyes, and our third member of the team is the Quad Father. We're just two ATPs in a quad with a mic, a mission, and a whole lot of passion. This podcast is all about real people, real stories, and real power, spotlighting life after injury, adaptive technology, and the voices reshaping what it means to roll forward. Buckle up, because at this roundtable, we're not just talking, we're building a movement.
Nice.
How are you, Mr. Roland?
I'm doing well today.
Yeah?
Yep.
How about you, Danny?
I'm good. Fresh and clean. Let's go.
Did you get a go? Yeah. Hey, before we get started, check this out. So we've got some international listeners. So we got people in Poland, the UK, Mexico, Ireland, Canada, and India. You're helping this movement go global.
That's shout out to them.
Hell yeah. All right, I just want to get right into it. Hey, Sean, introduce yourself.
Hey, how's it going, everybody, all the listeners, Wheelchair Roundtable guys? It's Sean. Glad to be here with you guys, man. You guys are doing an amazing thing for the community. Definitely proud to be a part of it. Can't wait to get started, man.
Awesome, man. So we talked yesterday, and you're an amputee, right? Is it below the knee?
Yes, sir. Okay, amputee, so below the knee on the left side.
So tell us about that. I think you and I were talking about an injury at work.
Yes, sir. So, yeah, I was involved in a workplace accident, man, about 7 years ago now. I want to say it was 9 days after my 30th birthday. At the time, I was kind of running a business. I was a small business owner, running a small home renovation and landscaping sole proprietorship. I mean, also moonlighting, contracting work as a heavy equipment operator. So yeah, I was involved in a workplace incident, specifically on a piece of heavy equipment. A lot of people know it as a production lift or a forklift. And yeah, man, unfortunately, it resulted in the crushing of my left foot, and definitely a humbling, life-changing experience for me. Being able-bodied for 30 years and a student athlete myself, to go from basically hooping every weekend, coaching my kids, to not knowing, you know, what the next steps for me were going to be. And I know I remember specifically when after my accident, or actually during my accident, right when it happened, all I could think about are my kids. You know, just to kind of give you a picture, I was in a warehouse at the time working as a forklift operator for auxiliary services business or manufacturer to the oil field. And, you know, everything we worked with was over a ton. So we use a lot of heavy equipment, cranes, bulldozers, bobcats, and forklifts, obviously, in order to manufacture these pipelines and pipe fittings and stuff like that. So I was a forklift operator just on a regular day, man, just coming into work. I think I did a few customers landscaping that day. And then I went into work, and man, just like a regular day. You know, unfortunately, the forklift was, you know, not acting the way I wanted it to. And just like a normal day, I'm hopping on and off the forklift, and fortunately, the emergency brake doesn't engage and ends up pinning my foot between the platform of the forklift and the heavy machinery railing. And basically, you know, crushed my foot. And I even had to remove the forklift myself because I was wedged. And as soon as I did that, man, I tried to take a step. Man, it's like my whole life flashed before my eyes. Next thing I know, I'm hitting the ground. I got my foot in the air, and all I see is flesh, bone, and boot, you know. And it was all I could think about at that time is, man, how am I going to play ball with my boys? And,
right,
you know, eventually, how I'm going to walk my daughter down the aisle, you know, when it's time for her to get married. And yeah, definitely changed my life. Definitely a lot of negative thoughts initially about the injury, but I'm definitely here to say that I'm an overcomer, and through the grace of God and just his guidance and, you know, the support of my small support system in the community that I came engaged with. You know, I'm an overcomer, and I have no sad story, honest, to be quite frank. I have no nice. Sad story. I am humbled and blessed. I'm so blessed to be in the position amazing. I am today. So, yeah.
Sean, when we were talking yesterday, you said you had 7 surgeries?
Yes, sir. In 7 surgeries in 1 week. I was in a kind of sort of in a wrong place, right time, or right place, wrong time type deal. Where I was working at the manufacturer was in the industrial district in San Antonio. And shout out to San Antonio, man, the great military city of San Antonio. Like I said, I've been born and raised there. I have a lot of military family. And service members, first responders. So, you know, San Antonio has a huge place in my heart and forever will be my home. But in the industrial district, it's right. If you know San Antonio, it's right next to Brooks Army Medical Center. So one of the best trauma centers and units in the country, in my opinion. So luckily I was rushed there. And obviously it's not, you know, ideal scenario to be at BAMZ, but you know, the people there were just tremendous. Shout out to my doctor, my surgeon there at BAMZ, Dr. Liebeck. I don't know where you are today, sir, but kudos to you. And also just being able to receive the best treatment from the best professionals in the industry dealing with these type of injuries. For military people and for me as a regular civilian, just being lucky enough to be involved and kind of just welcomed into the military family and being able to be treated there. I had 7 surgeries in a week's time. And the whole time, you know, nobody could tell me nothing. I was going to walk again. I wanted my foot. They weren't going to take it away from me. But, you know, they had told the mother of my children at the time, they told her that, you know, it's 90% chance she's going to lose it. And but as hard-headed as I am, I wanted to try to save it. I definitely was looking forward to life, completely able-bodied. So I did have faith in God. However, God has a different plan for us all, man. And my mom used to say, and my grandmother told her, like, you make plans and God laughs because, you know, he has a path and a purpose and a place for you.
Yes.
And just following that, I think it was about the 5th surgery that they said they had, you know, brought a waiver in and said, hey, man, if we don't like what we see, you know, we're going to go ahead and we're going to amputate it. So we need you to sign this waiver. And, you know, at the time I was in the hospital bed and I got a nerve block in. I got a blood vac cleaning my wound and you know, my foot's in a cast with rods and nails and all types of screws and stuff hanging out of it. It's elevated with strings in the air. It's like something out of a movie.
Right.
Definitely the treatment there was top notch. And, you know, after about, and it was quite surprising to me that, like I said, the 5th surgery, they had me sign a waiver, but, you know, I came out the next surgery, you know, still intact with my foot there. They saw some progress, but unfortunately around the 7th time I went in, they just didn't see enough progress. You know, they just wanted to avoid infection and honestly to give me the best life possible if I was going to become an amputee by preventing any further damage and putting me in a most advantageous position because I actually do have a pretty long lever, what they call a lever residual limb. I have a lot of leverage because my injury initially was in my foot. They were able to choose exactly where they were going to amputate.
Right.
And because of that, I would say that, you I'm as physically fit as I can be. I'm as competitive as I can be in all different areas. And when we kind of talk about adaptive sports, especially due to just their knowledge and, you know, the direction they decided to go with my treatment. And again, hats off to BAMZ in the great military city of San Antonio and Dr. Liebeck, again, wherever you are. Thank you. You're a godsend, and I appreciate everything that you've done for me, sir. Absolutely.
Well said, man. Well said.
Take us through post-amputation take us to your emotions, your feelings, and how quickly you got into rehab following that. And what was the healing period between surgery and actually starting to move forward with your new world?
Right. Definitely a life change. One of the biggest, I would say. I mean, I played adaptive sports, and I definitely come across a lot of different types of disabilities. And that's, I kind of realized that I was in probably a really good position just based on, you know, the treatment there. And I was, after the surgery, it's funny because I went through so much pain through that week, and there was such a sense of relief when they amputated my limb, right. Surprisingly, right? But
right.
Definitely grateful just for the experience. It definitely taught me a lot about myself. But I'm the type of person that is super hard-headed. So nobody could tell me that I wasn't going to walk again. Even after they amputated, nobody was going to tell me that I wasn't going to run again. And I'm still adamant that one day I'll be able to dunk the ball again. I wasn't a high flyer, but that's definitely one of my personal goals. But following the amputation, I mean, right away the next day, my PT comes in and has me get up out the bed. You're going to use this walker. And you're going to walk down the hall, you're going to go downstairs, you're going to do all this stuff. And I'm like, what? And I'm like, man, it was just yesterday. Right. I just got amputated. But that honestly was very good for me. It definitely created a sense of urgency when it came to my recovery.
I was going to say.
And through BAMSI and Dr. Liebeck, again, who basically recommended me to be a part of a outpatient program for civilians, but through the Center for Intrepid there at BAMSI. And for those of you who don't know what the Center for Intrepid is basically where the Wounded Warriors receive a lot of their rehabilitation. So I was blessed to be, you know, elected to be a part of that. Right. By my surgeon, Dr. Liebeck, and with the support of the military as well. You know, I'm definitely appreciative to everything that they did for me. So I did a outpatient rehabilitation through a CFI with the Wounded Warriors for about, I want to say, 8 to 9 months. And it was just a tremendous experience to be in the same room with these guys who serve our country. And pay sort of the highest sacrifice that they can, and, you know, putting their bodies on the line, and to be involved and be around those type of people. I mean, it was just, again, very humbling, very grateful for the opportunity, and also, you know, a lot of uncertainty during the time for myself, for sure.
Without a doubt.
But through their therapy, I was able to participate in a few things there, not everything, because I wasn't or I'm not a military member, but I was able to participate in physical therapy, emotional therapy, and some pain management courses, as well as recreational therapy, that's where I was basically introduced to the sport of wheelchair basketball by the recreational therapist there, Abdul Brown. Shout out to Abdul Brown, and shout out to my physical therapist, Troy Hopkins, who really encouraged me to pursue the sport at a high level. They introduced me to wheelchair basketball through recreational therapy, and I was actually able to compete with them in some non-sanctioned tournaments and get involved in the sport, and actually began to meet other athletes who are also veterans participating at CFI, but who also competed in the NWBA, the National Wheelchair Basketball Association, with the Parasport Spurs organization, headed by Willie Jackson. Shout out to Coach Willie Jackson. I hope you're listening, Coach, man. I appreciate all you've done for me. And after that, I was released from CFI, and that sort of, I started began to kind of take my training with wheelchair basketball and really my overall health and fitness into my own hands. I did, you know, do some PT through my insurance, but definitely the sport of wheelchair basketball took a hold to me, and that's where I kind of began my journey on, you know, with health and my physical fitness and elevating myself amongst this big group of tremendous athletes, regardless of disability. I definitely will say they definitely sparked a fire in me for myself, because I'm ultra competitive. And that is basically where I begin my wheelchair basketball journey with the Parasport Spurs, Willie Jackson, and shout out to Morgan's Wonderland. And Morgan's has great facility, and they are a staple in the community for adaptive sports and health and wellness for the disabled community in San Antonio.
Yeah.
Hey, Sean, this is Daniel. I have a question for you. So you mentioned some pain management. I know one of the things when you've got an amputation is, I don't know if it happened to you, maybe it did, maybe it didn't, but like phantom limb, where you still have pain and things like that afterwards. Yes, sir. Did you experience any of that?
Absolutely. I mean, unfortunately, I still experience that to this day. I think a lot of it has to do with the trauma that my body went through with all the surgeries. I did have a nerve block. I had a lot of nerve damage in my residual limb. Part of my diagnosis has to do with, I want to say it's a chronic nerve pain syndrome and phantom pain syndrome. So there's occasions, and it used to be really bad. I mean, honestly, but you still get a sense that, you know, your limb is there when it's no longer there.
Right.
You could even describe sensations or the pain itself very specifically. I remember when I first experienced the pain, and every now and then I have these episodes that last maybe 30 seconds to where it's just an extreme amount of pain. And you know, it's definitely a mental game when it comes to navigating your way through that pain and or those sensations. But there would be times where it feel like my ankle would itch, and I could tell you exactly where on the ankle it itches. It's on the backside, on the bottom, next to the heel. It's wow. itching there, but you can't scratch it. There's nothing you can do to kind of relieve it. But I was introduced to some techniques in order to, you know, navigate and reduce the pain as well. There's a mirror technique. So if it's itching on your foot where there's no longer a fit, you sort of use a mirror, scratch the opposite foot. But you have to look at the mirror, and it's sort of that eye connection sends a signal to your brain, hey, I'm scratching. So there's now some relief there. But I think the worst pain, and I still, like I said, occasionally experience it for a period of about 30 seconds to a minute, and it feels very specific. It's like as if someone is flossing between my toes with barbed wire.
Oh no.
And that's a pain I wouldn't wish on my worst enemy, but it's definitely something I've grown accustomed to dealing with, and I'm sure other amputees have. It's one of those daily stresses and struggles that a lot of people don't know about. But definitely hats off to all my amputee brethren and sister who are dealing with those day-to-day issues like myself, and more power to you, man. Stay encouraged. I mean, sometimes it's something that may subside in years, and something that you might have to deal with for the rest of your life. And that's our journey. That's our cross to carry.
Yeah. Right. Hey, Sean, post amputation and recovery, what were you utilizing as far as adaptive devices, a walker, a cane? Were you in a wheelchair? Did you receive a wheelchair from the facility or from the hospital?
Initially, I use crutches. I had crutches to start off. Since I'm an injured worker, my insurance does take care of the majority of my mobility aids. Obviously, it's a process. Anybody who's been in a similar situation or who deals with insurance on a regular basis, you know, it's a process sometimes.
Right.
Things don't come as quickly as you would like them to, but I'm grateful that there was some provision there. So I did start off with crutches, and my goal was to walk again. And I made that clear to my insurance, and they were supportive. And I think, you know, obviously having somebody like the U.S. military and the Brooks Army Medical Center and the Center for Intrepid backing you definitely put some pressure on them to kind of helped me further along with those things, being that I was around the community of Wounded Warriors. So they definitely eventually, and I say it probably took me about 6 to 8 months before I received my first prosthetic. And prior to that, I was in a wheelchair because the crutches, man. I was a pretty big guy at that time, maybe about 280. Mm-hmm. So, you know, the crutches were definitely something difficult for me to manage. Right. But nothing was going to stop me. If I had to get in my truck, and I was definitely going to use them crutches to go wherever I needed to go. And obviously, I'm a single father of three. So, you know, the kids clung to me after my injury and I clung to them. And they were very motivating and very supportive of me walking again. And I never forget the first time I received my prosthetic and I went to my prosthetist. Shout out to Kurt Simmendinger and Bulow Prosthetics. They provided me with my first prosthesis, walking prosthesis. And ever since then, man, you know, I never really looked back. I never thought about necessarily using a wheelchair full time. But I will say for amputees, if you're too proud to use a chair, you need to get over it. Our mobility aids are there to help us. You know what I'm saying? There are times, you know, where I'm just not able, whether it's soreness on my residual limb or I've overdone it and now I got a pressure ulcer. Or, you know, my phantom pains are going just to the point to where I can't put the prosthesis on. The wheelchair is definitely handy. And I'm sitting in my chair right now just because I've had a pretty long day today. So I would encourage everyone, especially for any amputee who's wanting to get into wheelchair sports, adaptive sports, that you spend some time in the chair and get accustomed to it. It's not a hindrance. It's definitely not a hindrance. And I became very acquainted with all of my mobility aids, including my chair, as well as my prosthesis. And yeah, I'm still using my prosthesis today. I'm actually blessed to have a few of them for different activities as well.
And what model wheelchair do you have?
Right now I'm in a Performax chair. Shout out to Performax, man. Honestly, the best, in my opinion, and I could be biased, but the best manufacturer of active chairs, even for everyday chairs, very lightweight, man. And that's really important. My first chair, I believe, was a Colors chair.
Colors.
Nice.
Yeah, yes. It was a Colors chair, man. And it had these shocks on it. Yeah. And at that time, I had probably, after my accident, ballooned up to over 330 pounds. So yeah, I think the chair was necessary at that time. But as you know, I focused and honed in on my health and fitness journey, I think that a Performax chair was more suitable to my day to day.
Sounds like it.
Yeah.
Nice. Hey, Sean, wheelchair basketball wasn't your first adaptive sport, was it?
No. So wheelchair basketball was not my first adaptive sport that I tried. So through recreational therapy at the Center for Intrepid, they obviously, you know, they introduced you to, I think I did some wakeboarding. And I think the first competitive sport that I tried was sled hockey, man. And it was, I mean, definitely an awesome experience. And shout out to the U.S. Paralympic sled hockey team, man. You guys are amazing. Shout out to Rico. Shout out to Jen Lee. Man, I appreciate y'all for welcoming me into the brotherhood, man. It was definitely an experience, but man, that sled and them, it's so cold. My backside was cold the entire time. But those are some real good athletes, man. And a lot of them also play wheelchair basketball as well. I think Rico is playing for Portland right now, wheelchair basketball. He played in the Division II at Nationals this past year.
Okay, so let's get into it, brother. When you started playing basketball, you started with the para first, right?
Yes, sir. I did start with the para sports first. However, my first tournament, like I said, was a non-sanctioned tournament with the BAMSI team as part of the recreational therapy. They allowed us to compete with the at a D3 tournament, and that first tournament was in Shreveport, Texas. And then unfortunately, COVID hit, and that was an extent of time. I think, you know, everybody had some difficulty, but, you know, being new to being an amputee in this lifestyle definitely was a challenge for me. Definitely went through a lot of mental and emotional struggles during that time. But I came out on the other side of it and I'm more motivated and driven to be a Paralympic athlete, to be an elite wheelchair basketball player, and just be very healthy overall, despite of my disability. So after COVID, I think that's pretty much when I decided to take the sport seriously and try to take it to the next level and elevate my skill set. So the Parasport Spurs, I think our first season, my first season with them was in 2021 after COVID. And man, shout out to the team, the D3 Parasport Spurs 2021 team. It was only six of us. And coming back from COVID, we were considered a new team. So we didn't qualify for nationals. We had a Division II team that was competing in nationals that year. But this was kind of to set the groundwork for the Division III team moving forward into next year. And we had six guys. Shout out to those guys. Shout out to Deion Cole. Shout out to William Bell. Shout out to Steve Wirth. A shout out to Quad Father. You might know Juan Garcia plays rugby. He was a seal god for me. And him as well as Marcel Fuller. Shout out to Marcel, Mr. One-Arm Wonder. He's a triple amputee, man. And you talk about the innovation of chairs. He used to push his chair with that one arm, and he had a special axle that allowed the other side to give the same type of push. Oh. And man, I mean, he set so many seals for me, man. We definitely had a great time bonding and competing in Division III that 2021 season. We played teams like the CC Rams, who I think you guys are familiar with.
The friends of the Vipers.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Shout out to the Vipers, the RGV Vipers.
RGV.
Yeah, thank you.
Looking forward to seeing more out of the congratulations team and starting it up this season. And I'm rooting for you guys.
Yes. Yeah. All credit to Mike Auer. He made it happen.
So I'll ask you real quick, Sean. You talked about there's a guy with a triple amputee. What other – I know, because I usually think of basketball, wheelchair basketball, as more of a parasport, but you see all sorts of different people with different types of disabilities?
Absolutely. Yes, sir. Like I mentioned, Juan on that 2021 team, Juan, it was a quad. Steve Wirth, he's an amputee below the knee, similar to me. Marcel, he was a triple amputee. William Bell and Deion Knowles actually they're veterans. And they have injuries that, you know, you look at them, you couldn't necessarily tell, but you see the surgical scarring and, you know, these guys got metal all in their bodies and, you know, it's very humbling. I mean, I used to look at my situation as dire, and to see how these guys are still motivated and driven, it's amazing. I mean, and then there's all different types. I mean, double amputees, whether it's a right. B or an AK, guys missing digits. I mean, the list goes on. It's several different types of diagnosis, and I think that just goes to show that the competitive spirit doesn't leave you.
Do you play basketball previous to your injury? And tell us about your progression if you did not. In other words, when you first started playing wheelchair basketball, because it's tough. The dribbling, propelling the chair, shooting. Because I tried it some years ago, and I had a tough time shooting.
Same here.
Yeah.
So I was, like I said, I was always a student athlete, mostly in the sport. I really football was my first love, mainly because my dad was a collegiate football player. He played for Langston University, and you know, he was also all city San Antonio at Sam Houston High School. So I definitely played a lot of football. And I did play some basketball, but not a lot of organized basketball. Where I'm from, we love to play street ball. And honestly, basketball is one of those sports to where you don't necessarily need other guys to play or train. Football, you know, we used to play football in the street, but we needed about, you know, 8 people at least, you know. So, definitely not my first rodeo at basketball, but organized basketball, yes. The transition was definitely difficult for me, even when I played basketball for fun. And I tried out for basketball in middle school. They were like, man, you play basketball like a football player, man. You play rough and hard. And, man, and that's honestly one of the reasons I love wheelchair basketball, just the aggression that my style of play kind of lends and the contact, man. Definitely kind of it felt like I was sort of bred to kind of play this game. When I first started, and then for myself, I also coach my son's football and basketball teams as well. So, and there's a lot of similarities in the game. Basketball is basketball, but obviously, you know, there are different rules and regulations when it comes to wheelchairs that you kind of have to adjust to. And obviously, you know, limitations of your personnel on the floor and yourself, you know, you have kind of aware of that and trying to compete at a high level.
Sean, I was going to ask you, since you do have different levels of players on the court, is it a point system? How does it work? Because I've been playing here with us, and I'm still new to it. Who can be on the court at the same time, or how does that work?
So there's a system based on your disability. You are classified on a scale of basically 1 to 5. 5 being basically means you're able-bodied. If you're a 5, that means most likely you wouldn't qualify to compete in a national tournament. But there are some leagues that you can play as an able-bodied person. So able-bodied people, we call you ABs. If you guys want to participate in wheelchair basketball, there's definitely leagues out there for you to participate in. But there's a 15-point limit on the floor. So you have 5 guys. And based on their disability, they're all classified. And those points between those 5 guys cannot total over 15 points. Based on the division you're playing in, whether it be D3, D2, or D1, there might be some nuances that are different for each division. But for the most part, it's a 15-point system for 5 guys. I'm considered a 4.5. Pretty much the most able-bodied on the floor based on my below-the-knee amputation. But you have other guys who are maybe a bilateral below the knee. They'd be considered 4. Above the knee, they might be considered a 3. Spinal cord injuries, most times they're going to be 2.5 or below just based on their range of motion, on their ability to handle the ball. I mean, all these things normally are done at national tournaments, and you can also be internationally classified for a point as well.
Did you get to interact with any of the San Antonio Spurs, the NBA players?
Oh, yeah, absolutely, man. I remember when I first started with the Parasport Spurs. Man, such a great experience. And shout out to the San Antonio Spurs, my home team. Shout out to Mama. And all the guys there, shout out to the Roddy Award winner, Stephon Castle. I actually had the privilege of meeting him and introducing my children to him as well. And my boys were just elated with being able to shake hands and take pictures with superstars like those guys, Champini, Minix, a lot of those guys. And when I first came out in like 2020, we used to do halftime shows all the time. And, you know, they're wonderful sponsor. Again, shout out to them, the San Antonio Spurs organization. They do, you know, and part of their sponsorship, you know, we get their swag, the jerseys, you know, all the good stuff. Like we get to do those halftime shows, but they also come out in the community and show their face and show their support and their love for everybody participating in adaptive sports and people who with disabilities all together. Shout out to Morgan's Wonderland. They play a big facilitation piece with that, as well as Willie Jackson of the Parasport Spurs organization.
Nice.
Steph is special, man.
Yeah, man.
I'm looking forward to this season.
Oh, yeah, man. Absolutely.
Ooh, nice.
Crazy.
Sean, tell us about DK3.
Oh, man. DK3. Shout out to David Kiley, Hall of Famer, NWBA chairman. I believe he's on the board. David Kiley actually started the DK3. And it's an invitational for the most elite wheelchair basketball players in the country. And I had the privilege of actually my first time, I was not invited. I was actually vouched for by one of my teammates, Nakia Merritt. Shout out to Nakia Merritt and Chris Petway, who introduced me really to the Parasport Spurs and wheelchair basketball all together. They were also patients at the CFI as well, veterans. Thank you for your service, guys, man. And thank you for your support and your tutelage. So Merritt, Nakia Merritt, he basically vouched for me. They were looking for additional players. And I think it was the 2022 DK3. It was held at UTA in Arlington. And I was placed on a list of alternates. So they were looking for additional players. So the alternates basically are people who are on the list. And if, you know, somebody from the 3-on-3 doesn't show up for their team, then, you know, you get placed on a team. And no one there selects their team. DK and his staff, they put together the teams. And you basically go and ball out, man. And I was vouched for by Nakia Merritt to attend. And, you know, he told David Kiley that, hey, man, this guy can ball. He's up and coming. And I was on my way to Arlington to compete. And my first DK3 Paralympians, collegiate players, Division One players, and guys who are really up and coming. It was just an honor for me to be involved. And yeah, man, I actually was placed on a team of alternate that first DK3. Myself, Rodrigo Linares, and my Parasports Spurs teammate, Israel Schultz. And shout out to Israel Schultz, who helped me develop my game and my speed and assisting me with a lot, man, especially during our practice there in San Antonio. We were placed on the team, so we actually had pretty good chemistry. I knew at that moment that, man, we're about to take this thing. And we actually did. My first DK3, I won. And I never forget that, man. I received a lot of support, specifically from the Hall of Famer, David Kiley. You know, he just told me, man, you're hungry, man. I love that competitive and your spirit, man. Just keep it going. So we won that year, man. And we actually, man, we beat a team that was, you know, favored to win. Shout out to Aaron Hill, man. I really appreciate you, brother. I really appreciate your competitive spirit, man. He actually that year he was named the MVP of the collegiate league. And he was a part of the UT. A moving Mavs, and they won the division that year, and he won MVP. So they were favored to win, but man, I had no clue, and I was, you know, I was a new player, so I had no clue who anybody was, you know, and
right.
I don't have real respected person. When you step on the court, you step on the court. You can never underestimate your opponent, and I definitely approached the game with a lot back for him after they tell me, oh, he's the guy. And I'm like, okay, I'm going to have to shut him down. It's just over.
He did. He shut him down.
And I did my thing, man. I definitely did my thing and received a lot of compliments. Specifically, shout out to Doug Garner, who was the coach of UTA at that time. He was in the corner watching that game like a hawk. And ever since that moment, man, after the game, he came up to me and he said, you know what? Keep in touch. I like what you're doing. And ever since that moment, he's been a big supporter of me. So shout out to Doug Garner. And he actually influenced some more decision making further down the line of my wheelchair basketball career. Yeah. So, and anybody who's interested in getting training, developing chair skills and your speed on the court, please go check out Doug's book. It's called Speed Training. I think it's co-authored by his son as well. It's a great piece of informative basketball tutorials, skills, chair skills training. All that stuff is in that book. So if you're new to wheelchair basketball, even as a coach, please go check out Doug's book. It'll be a tremendous help to you.
Can you describe your style of play, the way you play? You sound like Bruce Bowen here for a second there.
Well, I honestly, man, I hang my hat on defense, and
I love it.
As a coach of youth sports, I know defense wins games.
It does.
Games. So I hang my hat on defense. I really play balls to the wall on defense, very aggressive, a little handsy. Some would say too handsy, but I get a lot of blocks, a lot of deflections, cause a lot of turnovers. My closeout is extremely aggressive. You know, if I can cause the offense to make a mistake, panic shots that lead to transition buckets in the end, that's what I hang my hat on. And then offensively as well, I try to stay aggressive. If I get anywhere close to the bucket, it's over with. I'm pretty high percentage from the block, either side, about an 8-foot to 10-foot shot, man, it's cash.
In the paint. You're in the paint.
That's my style. I love playing with my low pointers. So those would be the quads. Anybody who's basically lower than, you know, a 2.0, those guys are there to assist the bigs, mostly do a lot of pick and rolls and seals and help you get into the paint. So shout out to guys playing the game at a high level.
Sean, do you have one game you want to talk about that, you know, just sticks out of your memory?
I think the one game that really sticks out in my memory, was, I think it was the season after my first D3 season. I want to say 2023, 2022, where I was Air Force Spurs, and we're competing at NOBL, which is the North American Wheelchair Basketball League, spearheaded by Keith Wallace. Shout out to Keith Wallace, who get sort of an alternate league of play for, like I said, those able-bodied people or fives who want to try the sport and compete at a high level, or anybody who basically, you know, for whatever reason, isn't competing in the NWBA or qualifying to compete in the NWBA. Going to Chicago and competing in NOBL was amazing. It was my first opportunity to compete with the Parasport Spurs, a higher team, Division II team. And we're sort of a mixed team, but it's a round robin type of tournament to where you're placed in a tier. Everybody starts out in Division I, and then you're placed in a tier throughout the pool play and they compete in the division bracket towards the end of the tournament. So we were actually placed in a tier two or Division II and ended up winning that game, man. I got a lot of compliments. We blew them out pretty cold in Chicago. Mm-hmm. And end up walking away with first place in that Division II at NOBL that year. So I received a lot of compliments that game, and it kind of inspired me to keep going and building my skill set and work on the things I was also bad at, you know, as well as doing work off the court. So, and I would encourage anybody into wheelchair basketball, who's, you know, maybe they're struggling with their game or they're not seeing a lot of progress. I guarantee you it's because you need to elevate your fitness, your conditioning, and your strength training off the court as well, man. Anybody who's ever took a big leap in their style of play or level of play, it's normally because they're doing some serious work off the court.
That is true. That's true in every sport.
Absolutely.
We had a conversation yesterday about getting back into school and getting that wrapped up.
Yes, sir. Yeah, definitely a journey. That was a journey for me, man. And it's been a long journey. I was blessed to have educator as a parent. My mother, Joyce Holmes. I love you, Mom. Shout out to you. I love you. She's been an educator in this city of San Antonio and the surrounding area for over 30 years. She homeschooled me, I think, up until second grade, and just set me on the right path when it came to my education. As far as she was concerned, there's no pass, no play. So that kind of started me off, but I was blessed to receive a full academic scholarship to Prairie View A&M out of high school. And I double majored in architecture and construction management. Fortunately and unfortunately, I wasn't able to finish school there. I started a family pretty early and moved back to San Antonio. So after my injury, I was blessed with another opportunity to go back to school through the Texas Workforce Commission. Through them, I was basically accepted into UTSA after my injury. And then that was, I started UTSA in the fall of 2024. And I decided to take the road with least obstacles. And I definitely wanted to continue my course of study. At least that was my train of thought at that point. But I began to have some difficulty when it came to transfer credits and meeting the criteria of the department. And it basically got to a point to where I was still an intensive construction science major, but there was no other course that I could take under the degree plan, and I wasn't meeting the criteria of the department. They wanted to change my major to something like management or MIS or something like that. And I was like, no, I'm not going for that. Let's take a pause. I mean, I was already hesitant because I had been away from the industry for so long. So I had an opportunity to kind of take a pause on school spring of 2025 and kind of rethink, reevaluate where I was and what I wanted to do, what my purpose was. And I think definitely my goal now is just to live a fulfilled life, do something I love to do. And there was an opportunity after this last DK in Venice Beach. And shout out to Matt Scott. He's actually taken over the DK three the last 2 years. Just a very inspirational dude, and a Hall of Famer himself, man. I definitely think he's done so much for me that he doesn't even know just by being the type of person he is. But it's been in Venice Beach the last 2 years, and I've been invited ever since. But this last time, I kind of voiced some of my issues with a friend that I had met through the Parasports first, Matt Collins. And he's actually plays for UTA Moving Mavs. And he, he definitely was an encouragement. And he said, man, you're good, man. You've been working, your game is developed, and I think we could use you on the team. And he was going to talk to Coach Aaron Gooch. Shout out to Coach Gooch. Another supporter of mine, again, Doug Garner, who participates in the DK3 tournament as well. He's involved in a lot of different things with adaptive sports, especially wheelchair basketball, even after retiring as the head coach of UTA. So I was able to speak with him as well. So, and you know, he said, you know, he's, you know, I've been on his radar for a while. So I definitely was excited to hear that he was willing to kind of chime in and help me out, possibly getting to UTA. And I'm here now, man. And I'm definitely thankful, grateful for the opportunity and the support of everybody in the community. And again, shout out again to Doug Garner, man. I appreciate you, boss, man. I really do, man. You've got me here, man. And I'm definitely happy to be here at you. And part of the UTA Moving Mavs. We just finished our second week of two-a-days.
Two-a-days.
Running me right, but I'm up, man. I definitely wanted to come in and definitely make a statement, but learn a lot, listen a lot. And Coach Gooch has been amazing since I've got here, man. He's not really trying to change my game. He loves my style of play. He's just going to perfect it and get us as a team to play together. So I'm extremely excited to be here as part of the Moving Mav, but also and to continue my education. And I kind of decided to take the approach of following something that is meaningful to me and something I've been doing since my injury and kind of rehabbing myself, being involved with personally invested in my health and wellness. And I've decided to major in exercise science here at UTA. Nice. And I'm really excited about it. I'm looking forward to a lot of different opportunities from being here.
You're going to be going up against some pretty intense competition, huh?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Hey, I'm not dodging. No, I don't dodge.
So going back to the Paris Spurs, What do y'all do in the off season?
Oh, so off season training, man. Shout out to Coach Willie Jackson again, man. Right now, they're actually competing at the World Series in wheelchair softball. So that's another sport that Coach Jackson is about from a competitive level. So I definitely for the last years participated a member of the Fort Texas softball team. I'm looking forward to you guys winning. I'm hoping you guys are doing well. If you're into softball, please try to check them out on the National Wheelchair Softball Association Facebook. They'll be streaming live, and Keith Wallace is actually heading up that as well. So yeah, again, shout out to them. In addition to that, I've also done, you know, running. Running has been, I mean, on my mind since I've, you know, became an amputee. Since I got my first running prosthesis, it actually attributed to a lot of my weight loss and my mobility, especially with, you know, training and coaching youth athletes in football and basketball. I'm definitely looking forward to advancing my skill set when it comes to the track. I love parastanding tennis. I love it. Shout out to Morgan's. They host a clinic every week for parastanding tennis as well as pickleball as well. So those are kind of the sports I'm definitely into. And during the off season, that really just helped me maintain my level of athleticism and also introduce new skill sets as well. That helped me with my game on the wheelchair basketball court.
Nice. Sean, tell me about your grandma.
And Betty Jean Booker Holmes, like I told you guys yesterday, they don't make them like her anymore, man. She definitely was a huge inspiration for me to return to school after post injury. She worked her entire life. You talk about her entire life and sacrificed so much for my uncles and my mother and my aunts. And she had six of them. And, you know, she put off her education for some time, but she encouraged me to go back to school, not necessarily by, you know, hounding me or, you know, belittling me or anything like that, but leading by. And, you know, she received her bachelor's degree just a few years before she passed at the age of 82. For her to be able to do that, man, speaks volume. That it's not too late. So if you're anybody out there listening, if you're discouraged by your age, when it comes to anything, it's never too late. You're never too old, or quote unquote too old. You know, you got to take life by the throat sometimes. She definitely encouraged me a lot, and she still encourages me to this day.
What was your grandma's name, Sean?
Betty Jean Booker Holmes.
Betty Jean Booker.
Yes, Betty Holmes. Love you, Nano.
We love you. Sean, tell me about your kids.
My three beautiful children, I love you, Micah, Isaiah, and Samaya Simeons. Micah is my oldest son. He's 13 years old. I've been coaching him in football since he was four. And then the twins, Isaiah and Samaya, are 11 years old. They're all in middle school this year. Definitely being here at UTA has been a different experience. Ever since my injury, that we've clung to each other. But more than that, they've continued to support me and motivate me through all my decisions, through all my my shortcomings. And they've been there every step of the way, even with my successes. I mean, they used to travel with me to tournaments, and I love the fact that we've grown together. In some aspects, man, that they've been able to see me overcome a lot of the obstacles that have been placed in my way. And that's all I ever wanted to kind of teach them, not to ever give up, not to let anything stop you. And honestly, they show me more of that than I've been able to show them. If guys, I love you, if you're listening, and you better be listening. Dearly, I don't take this opportunity light. I don't take the fact that you guys, it's created some distance between us. But I honestly just got off the phone with them before we got on, telling them about the podcast. And it's something when you're tired and you've been working hard and maybe you don't see a lot of the results and the benefits right away. Just to hear their voice sometimes is just, it continues to keep me going, man. And yeah, man, I love them. I'm wishing them all well this school year, especially with their sports and their extracurricular activities, because I'm not there to be the coach that I normally, you know, since my incident, my family, you says, man, you overparent. You're always doing this. They're tired of hearing you. They're tired. I was like, you know, that's my job. I don't take job lightly, and I just love them, man. I'm looking forward to all their progress. You know, Mike is competing in football. He just left football practice. Isaiah, he's a star. He's a dog on the basketball court as well as the football field. And my daughter Samaya, she's so tall. She could be wonderful at volleyball. And they're all very bright, very intelligent kids. And I couldn't ask God for greater blessings.
Lucky man.
Very. He must be so proud of you. I'm going to ask you one more question, then we're going to wrap up the show. Yesterday, you made a comment that really hit me, and it was really good. Explain what you meant when you said, walk this walk with integrity.
It's been riding in my head the entire day, Sean.
No, that's something that I definitely come to live by. You know, as I stated, we all have a cross to bear, to carry. But, you know, meeting the San Antonio Parish Spurs, in addition to having my family as my support system, they have become a part of my family as well. And just creating a community around each other and being involved, especially at the Center for Intrepid, and meeting all the veterans that compete on a high level and participate with the San Antonio Parasport Spurs, they've really showed me how to walk this walk with integrity, with my head held high, as if I can be the same person I've always been, because there's nothing different. And it just goes to show how much the body is a vessel, but the spirit doesn't have to change, you know, based on your circumstances. So I definitely want to, again, always give love to the home team and the Parasport Spurs for showing me what it is to walk this walk with some integrity.
I love it. I love it. Guys, got anything for Sean? Wrap it up.
Man, listening to you today, this is Roland. It had a huge effect on me, and your story is a perseverance, amazing, and glad to start to get to know you a little bit. And we'd love to have you back at some point.
Oh, man. I'm looking forward to being back for sure, man. I'm hoping to share some great news with you guys. Getting to know this team here at UTA has been amazing, and I'm looking forward to this intercollegiate season. I think we have a chance to do some great things. This team here, they're, you know, unfortunately they lost last year in the championship game, winning the silver medal intercollegiately, but they've all come into camp and to two a days with a chip on their shoulder.
Nice.
And that means to me, that means they want it just as bad as I do.
Oh yeah.
So I'm definitely excited to be here at a part of the Moving Mavs organization. Again, shout out to Coach Aaron Goo, shout out to Caesar, and shout out to the Moving Mavs team. We actually have two teammates that are competing in the men's America's Cup this weekend and next week as well. So shout out to Lionel Tomaki competing with the Canadian national team. And shout out to Keyshawn Perry competing with the U.S. team, man. I'm wishing you guys all the luck. Can't wait till you guys get back here so we can continue to create this chemistry and get back on the court and we'll match. Looking forward to it.
How about you, Dan?
No, I can't wait to hear that you're done with school and you're graduating and all that good stuff that's going to come with it. That's going to be so awesome.
Absolutely. We'll be following you on Facebook. So we'll be watching out for you.
Hey, with that, Sean, if somebody wants to reach out to you, where can they find you on social media?
You want to reach out, you can find me, Sean Simeons on Facebook. You can find me on IG, Instagram at DonSean_88. Yeah, man. Wheelchair LeBron. I'm here, man.
There you
Wheelchair
go.
LeBron. There you
I love it. Sean Simeons, it's a pleasure to meet you, my friend.
Much, very much a pleasure.
Guys, thank you for coming on.
Rico, Dan, Roland, man. Appreciate you for what you're doing for the community, man.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
Man, you have my cell number, man. You can go anytime you want to come on, you just hit me up.
I got you, boss, for sure.
All right. Well, thank you for tuning in to another episode of the Wheelchair Roundtable, and we'll catch you next time. Thank you.